Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to the session, Create Marketing Strategy Using Data for Students and Donors, given by Kathy Del Seso, from ROI DataWorks. I don't know how many people in here are working within their data or if you have someone who supports you when you work with your data, but no doubt this is going to be a very informative session on how powerful your data can be for your strategies in whatever area of your parish or diocese that you're working in. As we do with all sessions, let's start with the conference prayer. Name of the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Loving and gracious God, we ask you to open our hearts to your Son's life and ministry and to answer the call to be his disciples. May our response be rooted in the gospel. May we be ever mindful of the needs of our communities, and may our stewardship flow from a profound sense of gratitude for your many blessings. By the gift of the Holy Spirit, empower and inspire us to respond in a way that brings hope to others and revels the love that comes through Jesus Christ. We ask this in his name, who is our Lord forever and ever. Amen. So I will now pass the microphone over to Kathy.
Well, hello. Everyone ready to dig into data? Since we have a small group, as I go through here, I'm going to probably run through this pretty quick, and then I'll upload it to the app so that you have it. But as I'm going through here, if you think of things, we can kind of almost have this as a small consulting group, right? Because ask questions that you think of that you might need help with, and I'd be more than happy to help answer any questions. Does that make sense? Sound like a good plan? Okay. So, I work with many different dioceses, different schools, but I also work with different businesses across the board, both small, big, B2B, B2C. I got brought into this about 15 years ago, so I've been coming. This is my 10th conference, and I help different groups with data. Data, no one likes their database. Everyone has trouble, and it's usually not the database. So let's walk through this. Okay, so they put me in a school track. So I thought, all right, let's do a little bit of research. Where is the school systems right now? So in looking at this from National Catholic Education Associated data, back in 2019, is that what that was? You know, we were up, things went south, pulled back around, so now kind of even. Is this what you're seeing in your schools? Does this look accurate to what you're seeing? Okay, good. As well, they talked about here from 2020 to 2021, lots of mergers and closures, lots of things happening, consolidating. Now it's evened out. So we're kind of in a, it's time to go, time to figure this out, right? Oopsie, I think I'm done this one. No, that's right. So in the school system, you'll have a lot of stakeholders, right? You know this. You have a staff, parish, parents, residential business owners, boards, right? You have a lot of bosses. You have a lot of people to answer to. You have a lot of different areas of things happening. This is what it can look like. You have silos all over the place of data. You have your donor data. You have your student data. You have your guidance, accounting. Am I right? Does your world look like this? Oh, sure. And again, you'll have all these slides, but this is not good, but it's also really, really good because you have the opportunity to have very robust information to help you if you can just put it together. And it looks kind of scary, but it's really not as long as you got some good business rules going on. So why does data matter, right? It's the truth. It's money, it's understanding, it's a check and balance. It's what guides you. It takes away politics, it takes away opinion, right? If you can prove out or if you can see what your markets look like, you have an argument. You have an argument for spend, You have an argument for return on investment of what you're investing in. So data is your best friend. It really should be your best friend. What are the common data elements in that mess of a chart that I showed, right? You have a database system. You have loyal donor segments, demographics, your giving vehicles, your types, your events. This is what, with all those different silos, this is what really can be magical if it's put together correctly, right? To give you an idea of what your donors look like, what your students look like, your parents. Data is complicated, but what do you need? What do you need to take all those different silos, marry them, and have one 360 of your, I was going to say problem, but let's call it an opportunity, right? It's really a huge opportunity because you do have all those silos. You have all that information, people willing to give you information. If you could connect that, you have a story. And the only way you can connect that is through having very solid standard operating procedures or business rules. You have to have the most solid business rules. And why is that hard? Because you have a lot of volunteers, you have a lot of different people touching data all the time. QC isn't at the top. You know, it's like clean your sock drawer. Who doesn't love it when you clean your sock drawer, right? All of a sudden you've got matches that you didn't know. You found that sock that you used to love, and you can put it back together. But to do it, it's on the last, it's at the end of your list because you don't have time. It's the most important thing you can do to give you power. In a good way, power to give you confidence that what you're seeing is going to be able to make a plan that you're going to be able to follow, good or bad, a metric that you're going to be able to create. Am I making sense? How many have good standard operating procedures, good business rules, solid QC? Who could say that they have that in their data world? And what would it feel like if you did? Wouldn't it feel pretty darn good? Because you would have confidence in your plan. You would have confidence when you go talk to who's ever going to approve your spend to say, you know what? I have this many people. Historically, they've given this much. I think if we spend this, we're going to get this much. You have a plan that's based on data. And any CFO or anyone writing that check can't argue with you because it's right there. I mean, they could, but and they probably do because they probably say, no, another million, right? All right, so consider your situation. If you have one database that can serve all of these, or even if they talk to each other to have reports that can combine them, right? You have, from the parish standpoint, the school standpoint. And let's talk about schools for a second. When I was doing my research, are you experiencing this? No? Okay, so averages, right? If we're going to talk about math, averages are a combination of really high penetration and really low penetration, so somewhere in the middle. But you should know yours. Everyone should know exactly what your non-Catholic, because that's your, who went to the lunch yesterday? Wasn't that a cool talk on evangelizing? I mean, what a huge opportunity in one way. In another way, it's still a business. A school is still a business, and it needs to fill at a certain percentage to be good for the students, to be good for teachers, to be good for what they're learning. What a huge opportunity, right? So schools, since this is our focus, you have students, individual donors, business donors, grants, alumni, sponsors. Think about, I don't know how many of you do acquisition programs around, right? Schools are like banks, like parishes are like banks, in that you're defined by your 10, 20, 50, whatever that demographic is. What if you knew, right, the demographics of your students' households, their parents, like age, income, whether they're Catholic or not, or anything else, and then you go marry that. You can look at the exact same information that's available, and they'll give you if they're Catholic or not. Now, with this, I don't know. I might test non-Catholic households with students in your age ranges, because you can see households with kids of certain age ranges. Is this making sense what I'm saying? It's just an opportunity to think about acquiring, but again, return on investment. You wouldn't want to blast out huge amounts of monies to try this, but why not test it, right? The other opportunity with schools are businesses. If you look at your donors giving to the school programs and you look at the difference between individual givers and business giving, you will see business way higher than individual. And if you don't, you should try it out. And if you do, you should focus on it. Because in all the small businesses that are around these schools or these areas or these geos, there's somebody in that head office that's Catholic. There's somebody in that head office that's pro-school. How can you not be for the kids, right? Especially what's been going on with our school system in general, you have that opportunity. And I don't know how long that opportunity is going to last, right, for people to be, like, mad at their school boards and mad at what's going on. But there's an opportunity right now with that. And from the business standpoint, these businesses want to educate the kids. And it's very similar to Catholic Charities in that it's different than a parish or going for a priest, where it seems like it's more widespread. Am I making sense? Right? Catholic Charities can be more about just Catholic in general, not a specific religious. In school, it's Catholic, but it's education too. And businesses and people go for that. And there's somebody in that head office that's going to make that decision. And so you should give them that opportunity somehow. Right? Any questions? Does this make sense of your different silos? Come on. It's not that close to lunch. You guys are like... Quiet. Yeah, more coffee.
There was a speaker yesterday who said, "Catholic, you should look at the Catholic school as a regional school."
Sure.
As attached to a parish or whatever.
Right.
So you're 21%.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And check out, are you at 21%? Because if you're not, you could be. And if you're way over, that's a story, right? Because you'd want to monitor it because you don't want to lose it. Because all of a sudden, if that goes away, you don't have that pull. Well, that it's opened. It's not just a closed constituency that are interested in your education program. Now, is this because of how you've marketed it? Is it because there's a STEM program? Is it because you have a really cool math teacher? Is it because you have a really good football team, right? Is there some reason that this is happening? Is it that your public schools aren't good in that area, right? Take advantage of it. Grow that opportunity, right? Because you can reach that number. And if you flip it, you can look at the opportunity to evangelize, right? To get the word out, whatever that means. Am I making sense? It's an open door now. That's a big number that especially, and you'd have to look at the math, right? You'd have to look at how many students in your age range are available in that demographic to see what percentage, I'm not trying to get too geeky on you, but, right, to make sure that you do have opportunity before you spend any money. And that's where it all comes back to math and data, right? And people don't like it, but you should, because it's so important to any argument that you're making. Any argument you can make against somebody asking you to do something that you can't do, right? If they ask you, I want you to grow it from 20% to 40%. But you don't have the population set to do that. But if you don't know that, you can't make that argument. And it's not fair, but you have to be able to know your data. And I love data. So I do. It's a good thing. So what do we do? So let's say you came to me and you said, we really need help with our schools. We don't know what's going on. The first thing our company does is we come in and we do a complimentary data audit. We come and look at that scary silo chart that you saw, and we say, okay, this is what I see. This is the penetration that we see in the different variables that you have. These are the problems. These are the dupes you have. These are the address missing, or this is where this piece isn't connecting to this piece. So we give you a map of what you have to work with, good or bad. And say, if I were you, this is what I would do. You don't have to do it with me. You don't have to do anything. But it gives you enough information to say, I have a problem or I don't have a problem. And again, it's complimentary because you don't know if I'm crazy and I don't know how bad your data is, right? So if, but if we put something together and you look at it and you say, you know what, I want to append variables or I want to look at these small businesses in this area because what you're telling me is there's, you know, 500 businesses, which are probably the donors are going to be law offices, dental offices. I mean, from the data I see, those people are big donors into the school system. Automotive shops, right? How many of those? What's your opportunity? So depending on whatever you see, or let's say that the databases don't talk together at all. I would come back and say, you need some SOPs. And then you'd look at it and you'd say, okay, here's the, we'd say these are these business rules. You'd say, I don't have anybody to implement these. This will never happen because of this problem and this problem. But when you really peel back the onion, it's not that complicated. It just seems scary. Am I making sense? It seems like it's not dual, but it is. If you just peel it back and can map it out, because then you have something to talk about and a way to go forward that gives you confidence. And then the next step, we do profiles. Most important thing you can ever do when you're segmenting is to know what you're talking about. Like I just said, how many donors are resident versus how many are business. You got to know that number because you have to have that conversation about how you're going to either market to existings or how you're going to get new ones. You've got to know what that market is. Then you segment them, donors and prospects. And you got to start with some baseline metrics, right? You've got to get in there and know what's your conversion rate, what's your repeat rate, whether that's students coming back, whether that's donors giving. You've got to know those basic metrics because it's the only thing you have to measure against. You can look at industry averages all day long, but it doesn't mean that's what's happening in your market, right? So you've got to dig down. You've got to know your own stats so that you can improve, so you can spend money against them. And then once you know your metrics, sit down and figure out a strategy. So that's where we play. Those are the steps we generally take, no matter what the business is. But it's a 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Any questions? Yes. So it's a small town, it's saturated, and when you say saturated.
When you talk about business, you say the medical, mm-hmm. percentage, can we count on that percentage because they have so many people asking, like there are different variables for those businesses, because if we set our standards that we want to raise this much, ask what you need, but sometimes we ask too much because we're like, you're the good person.
Right, okay, so I'm going to go back to a slide. I feel like this is where, in whatever businesses that you do have, right, in whatever hospitals you do have, this is where going back and looking, what is your relationship, right? Because all of a sudden you've got to find whatever that relationship is and you want to be able to repeat it. Like whatever level that person that's giving, and are they giving every year? Have they been giving more? Have they been giving less? And when you're talking about acquisition, because I'm hearing you talk acquisition, how do I acquire more donors or more money? So more money is going to come from looking at your current givers. Those are the most important people, whether it's business or people, you want to look at your current donors and keep that relationship going. It is very difficult and very expensive to acquire new donors. It's one of the most difficult things any business ever does. And so the more you know about this and the more you can create relationships and the more, and this seems weird, but this is where your largest opportunity is for schools and donation of schools is to comb through what's going on. Who are these people that are giving of their time, giving, maybe have students? Where do they work? I mean, this is where you want to be a private investigator to figure out where your opportunity is because it's going to be personal. Anybody giving to a Catholic school is very personal to somebody at a business. It's either the head lawyer or it's the marketing director of the hospital that either went to Catholic school and has a heart there, and she wants to go tell this person that, right, giving's very personal. So it's like you want to be a private investigator, and this siloed data all over the place is such a huge opportunity for you to do that. Am I making sense? It's going to take work. Right. Wearing out or loving the people you're asking all the time, right? And asking them, do you have any, you know, because, right, do they want to share? Do you know? And it's when you go to these events or you go to different things, asking people, well, where do you work? And, you know, and then kind of climbing up that, right? Because if you don't ask, you won't get. And so to go to these events, especially in a small town, to figure out who's the person that makes the decision at a hospital about where they're going to give their donations, they're giving it to somebody. Every business on the planet has a set aside amount of money, and it's going to go someplace. And that's why a lot of times I look at a lot of different data, especially like university data. They'll be going along, you know, money's great, and then all of a sudden it drops $100,000. Well, what happened? Well, the CFO that used to be an alumni of that university got fired or went someplace else. Well, they didn't know that that's the reason that Kellogg was giving money to, you know, University of Illinois. Am I making sense? It's because they had an alumni. So that's another opportunity for schools, right? Look at all your alumni folks. Where do they work? Right? Have a different conversation with those people. Say, hey, you know, not only personally, but you work for, and I'm making this up, but you should have a relationship with some of those donors to say, you know, you work at this hospital, doctor such and so, can you invite so and so to our next event? We'd really like to see if your hospital can be involved. And you can test it. That's the cool thing too. You can test some of these ideas to try to work your way up that ladder, right? But it starts here. It starts knowing who's coming to those dinners, who's going to those meetings, who did such and so bring along, and where do they work. And on a lot of databases I've seen in schools, they have where parents work, which is key. And if you don't have that, I get it, right? Start putting it on a form to figure that out, because it's a huge opportunity to just sitting there. Does that help? Make sense? Yeah. Right. It doesn't hurt to ask, right?
I mean, it is an optional field. We have a lot of parents who do fill in that field.
Right.
But we have a lot of people who take a blank as well. So,
again, I'll say test it on a couple. Talk to people that are these parents, or talk to one that you might know who didn't fill it out, and ask them why. I mean, you have this petri dish of such opportunity. But you just have to kind of whittle it back to see if it might help, right? And you don't have to do the whole shebang. You can go test it and try it. And if people are like, I didn't know it was important. And all of a sudden you say, you know what? It is important because I've got a major gift person that needs to look at, you know, what if all, I'm making this up, but what if half your students all come from a particular hospital is because they really respect somebody who's a child, right? Oh my gosh, board members, right? Key. Board members are so key. And you have they're invested in their kids' futures. They're that involved, but they usually work for a business, somebody, you know, or they own a business. And even if you don't go after that one, to have that conversation with them to say, hey, you know, we're trying to get involved and just have the conversation. Am I making sense? Helpful? Okay. Anybody else? Here you go. All right, so this is just the data audit. We look at this. We give you giving history, problems, opportunities, data hygiene. Again, I'll have the slides for you. But if you want to do this yourself, right, look at the data that you have. Look at how it connects. Where does it connect? Do the different silos. Is there one unique ID that somehow you might be able to create that could connect your different areas of information? Is it the first name, last name? Do you have the, look at your business rules. Somehow somebody look at your business rules and see, is there an opportunity there? This is what profiles look like, age, income, business, you know, the story, how many kids in the family. Segment your donors, alumni businesses, we talked about that. These are just ideas for how to target whatever you're up to. And then you track it. You have your metrics. You see if you're doing better or worse. Here's your metrics: retention, acquisition, conversion, churn, average. You should know all of these, right? Because it's what you're gauging against, what you're spending against. Return on investment. It's the key because it's donor money, and you only have this amount of money. So you want to be watching exactly how the gifts come in against your spend. Making sense? And then you test your gift letters, your postscripts, capital campaigns. You've heard all this before, right? And then I have some case studies that you can download to see how that goes for acquisition plans, return on investment. It'll show you how to calculate all this. Making sense? We can walk through all these, but there's no need. I'll just download them. But it all comes down to math, data, to support whatever your efforts are to try to grow your group. So I have some articles for data hygiene, if anybody wants any, or I have some profiles, sample profiles. So what questions? How could I help you? Yes.
Sorry, I'm so eager because I'm a year into my role as a director of advancement for high school. Mm-hmm.
Right.
We're handed an opportunity, but if you have any examples or advice for solid standard operating procedures for finding those metrics or how to evaluate them.
Sure, I can send you.
I would love it.
I would send you that. Just make sure when you combine your data that you keep your legacy account number and your new account, because that unique ID is everything. Yep. Because anybody who's been through a data turnover, I mean, it's a nightmare. And if you don't hold on to that account, and a lot of database companies, they try their best, but they need interaction with you. Sometimes they'll use the email. No, say no to that. You don't want name and address either. You want that unique ID. If they don't have a unique ID, have them create a unique ID. Keep the old email address so that you can always keep all of the data and do not throw out anything, right? Even if they don't have a new field for you, keep it. Do it variable one, variable two, because you will always need to go back and get a date. A lot of times they don't get the date. And you want all the dates, the date of gift, the date of this, the date, all that. It's all good. People don't think it's all good, but it is. If you can just figure out how to tie it to that and map it out, right, it'll tell you a story. So it sounds like a good opportunity, very unique opportunity. Right, right. Just in case there's nothing, just in case it doesn't go well. And
happens, you know, if we're all human,
economically, I'm told my data, my legacy data, is going to be, it won't be available to me after my contract ends. That's why we're pulling the data now.
Some IT person or some CFO or some, and it might be some work to go back and look through files, but it would be well worth it. Go look at your alumni files, go look, see anything, talk to anybody, try to get as much data as you can get.
Part of the issue is the change to an information system, and in that same process, so not even getting
And that's the hard part too, because you talk about all those silos. Like our student information database has never talked to our CRM, and so those are different silos. And I don't have the 16-year historical data from all the student alum because we're from St. Patrick's. And then not only that, we're sitting on probably 150-year legacy of legacy schools that consolidated to create the school that we are now. It's only 16 years old. If that makes sense. So there's a lot of alumni and data that has been.
It is, but it's also an opportunity, like you said, because you can find it. They don't, it doesn't disappear. There's some, I mean, I'm old, right? So one of my very first jobs, I'm going through old data on microfiche. It's probably too young to understand what that is, but I'm pulling out every single piece of data I can, going through everything to try to look.
We actually still use some of that.
Well, see, you know what I mean? You got to go to whatever degree you can to get that data. I mean, you just go on a hunting expedition, and you don't stop. You are relentless. You go, whoever worked there the longest, who's ever done an alumni mailing, right? You comb through old files, all that.
Well, probably 25% of it.
Right. Name and address, right? I mean, you just got to comb through it. It's going to be a lot of work, but it's going to be so well worth it. You will find a golden nugget here or there, and you'll be like, oh, or you'll talk to somebody who worked there forever, some teacher that used to be on the alumni committee, right? And she's got a typed up written report, right? It's worth it to find anything that you can find and dig through any, I mean, but I'm not afraid of all that stuff, and you guys shouldn't be either.
You might use a social media campaign. You attend XYZ school, you want to know. Tell us who you are. You know what I
mean?
Right.
Exactly.
You can
maybe
do something like that, where say, after 15 hours, about the data, and you'll be
That gives you a reason to do the campaign.
Good idea.
It's usually what you want with donors. It's not to say, like, well, we're looking for more money, so that's what we're doing with this. But to say, we would love to know who attended our school and the record for law school and Katrina, and we're having to pay that to re-engage our alumni.
And especially since your school, it sounds like it's an agglomeration of, as you said, several former individual schools, right? So that's a perfect reason to want to ask people who they were. When did they go there? And, you know, tell us what you thought of it, et cetera.
Thank you.
That's your main position campaign.
Do you do that reunion stuff? We do, and we have like alumni socials that are somewhat well attended. Yes. And we're doing like Hall of Fame for the first time. Just celebrate that 150 years of legacy schools in 2 weeks as a holiday, so I'm using that as an opportunity to capture more information. We have 14 inductees who have their own people and networks, so we're hoping that that reinvigorates some of it. It's just been a lot because the first semester of the report also didn't really do anything. There was no transition.
It happens. How about the parishes, too? What about the priests? Have them do a little... If anybody went to the schools or don't really went to the schools, create a microsite.
And we already have an alumni form to fill out on the website and QR code for that. Right.
Perfect. Perfect.
And even if you have some, you know, some sleep like growing up, you can help you with that.
So he's all fancy.
I do have an alumni advisory council that's somewhat involved, but sort of reluctant to volunteer. I think it's just part of the transition. We just have to reiterate.
Sure. But you seem very confident, and you just ask, right?
I love it.
That's why we're all here, right? Trying to help each other get through and figure out new ideas. Anyone else having trouble or needing?
Well, as elementary school, we always have high school for the brain that's different. But creating units, we don't have subjects to put on. So our people are just directing.
Anybody else want to share or have questions?
Yes. So you talked about acquisition. So I come from the development side, not so much a school marketing advancement side, but products to recommend. So Mission Insight, I'm interested in learning more about that particular, I know it's a demographic data plotting. Are you familiar with Mission Insight?
I am.
Okay. Where would you buy an acquisition list that focuses around the faith? Or, I'm not really familiar with data acquisition. We have our parishes that feed into our donor CRM.
Well, there are 3 databases in the United States that know everything about all of us. They know how many kids we have, they know how much money we have left on our mortgage, they know what car we drive, and they know what religion we are, they know what ethnicity we are, and so the least expensive way, because I'm all about ROI, right, especially from a testing perspective, because you have a finite amount of money. So where I've seen success is you just go to one of these compilers, it's a big compiler, and you say, I want this amount of radius around this area, I want it between this age, I need kids between 5 and 7, whatever the age is, and that are Catholic. Or you get 2 segments. You say one is they are Catholic, and one, it doesn't matter. Test it. So it's super inexpensive, so can you, that would be my suggestion. It doesn't have to be expensive. So many people think it's expensive. They think it's expensive to profile. They think it's expensive to put variables on your file. It's not. It's super cheap to add age and income. And, you know, you don't have to have Wealth Engine. You can append all these different data elements and use it to understand. Like, I work with a lot of appeals, right? And the most interesting thing about the appeal is it's got little to do with how much money they have. It has everything to do with how old they are, because younger people don't understand the role of the bishop, right? So a bishop's appeal doesn't resonate because younger people want to give to their parish. They want the swing sets. They want the... And so, you know, the best thing I ever tell any diocese is in your second, beyond the first mailing, you better suppress 50-50, right? Anybody under 50 or under $50,000, don't waste a penny on them because they're never going to be acquired for the bishop's appeal. You can test it out. You can save a ton of money that way. Test it. Because the same donors that are going to be in that full set that you're mailing are going to be over 50, right? So by having that as a cut saves you so much money. And you're not missing anybody because you gave them a chance in the first round. And some of those younger people, they're generally more email savvy, right? They're going to be giving you online, which is another thing you should track. You should always be tracking your health of online giving and your health of email penetration. Because that's the new way, but it's going to be a while. So you kind of have to do a dual, if I'm making sense. Anybody else? All right. Well, I appreciate you guys talking data at 10 in the morning. And right? No one likes data. I know. It's not very fun. But
are these slides going to be up? Can we upload these slides?
Yes. I'll upload the slides into WUBA. Sound good? You bet.